This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with former Royals reliever Jamie Bluma, who joins us in studio every week. What's up, Bluma? How are you?
What's up? I enjoyed getting to watch that game yesterday before going to do lessons.
Right.
Monday day game was odd.
Day baseball kicks ass.
Like it.
5:30 tonight, as Nate said, in Pittsburgh. I'll take that, too. But most people are just happy to be able to watch the games.
And a lot of people aren't able to watch the games. I'm lucky. I'm not going to complain.
That's right. I'm lucky, too.
Yep.
No, man, I'm not lucky. I pay a... There's a cable. It's,
yeah, you know, I was going to say,
ain't that, cheap. That ain't luck.
You're paying.
There's a way, but.
Right.
Jake, are you watching the games? Just be honest.
Yeah,
it's
I mean.
It's open book here. Come on.
I need to talk to you off the record.
how exactly are watching?
Well, I mean, there's an update I haven't been able to figure out.
Right. Nate, how are you watching the games? Are you watching the games?
Yeah, no, I have games on at home. I guess technically I'm a cord cutter, but I made the decision that I made because I wanted to make sure I could still watch the Royals and Sporting Kansas City.
So you're a cord cutter, so then how are you watching them?
Well, AT&T TV is technically not cable because it's not wired into anything in your house. You know, it's just it's internet, but it's they have a cable package like Hulu and YouTube does, and you can get because I was very close to going to Google and AT&T came with a strong ass offer, I guess, compared to that. Here was the decision. This is what sucks about the consumer decisions you have to make now.
What's the decision?
So on AT&T, I can get Bally, but I can't get Red Zone. So now I'm probably going to have to get Hulu for next football season so I can get Red Zone. It's like they get you everywhere. You know, you got to subscribe to 17 different things
Red
to get what you want to get.
Or nothing at all.
And so, but I also like. I don't like that I have to choose between Red Zone and Royals and Sporting KC.
This may sound
I need all that.
Extreme. Red Zone or death.
Well, that does seem extreme to me. That does. I think Red Zone a lot. I don't think I'm willing to go that far. But hey, man, you know, I respect your commitment.
Don't push me into a corner.
It's kind of like what Mike Leach pointed out one time. You know, there's a difference when people use the word commitment a lot of times. It's misused.
Right.
Because at breakfast, you know, if you have bacon and eggs, there's two animals involved. The chicken's involved, but the pig is committed. You know, with the pig is committed to the breakfast.
Right.
With the bacon and eggs.
Mike Leach
had some pretty interesting phrases.
I really thought about it like that.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Think about it that way. Committed. Or, you know, you say if you want some chicken and eggs.
Committed's a way to put it, I guess.
Yeah.
I want chorizo and eggs.
Well, the
pig's still committed.
With the right tortillas.
Pig is still committed.
Ranchos.
Maybe better seasoning, but still
avocado
committed.
Maybe something. I mean, you know, if we're going to make a meal out of this, let's go.
Well, I enjoy watching them, regardless of all this whole conversation.
Right.
How committed are you to watching the Royals, Bloom?
I am committed.
Before you get into the Royal, this could occur at any point in the show. Tweet of the day from yesterday, or tweet of the night. Give me some kind of sounder to alert people that this is the tweet of the night. And I want, because we don't just talk about baseball. We talk about life.
Sure.
We're friends. We talk about things.
I enjoyed listening to you guys earlier this morning talking about some of the new stuff coming up on Prime. And
did you?
Netflix. I do. Okay. Yeah. Jake and I were texting back and forth about The Serpent.
I heard good things.
Oh, that's the old THX. I used
surround sound.
This was, I will never forget that. Many when I bought people, my house, I had this in my basement. I listened to it 50 times.
Many people tweeted this out. It's a quote, but I'll give credit to Adam Schefter because, you know, he's the football follow, right? Is he or Ian Rappaport?
I don't know.
Ian Rappaport don't back down from nobody. Ian Rappaport can hold his own.
I think
sir.
It's 1A, 1B. You get
anyway,
to decide. They're both fantastic.
Adam Schefter, and I want everyone to think about this. Adam Schefter is putting everybody in check.
Check.
Asked if he could guarantee that Jimmy Garoppolo would be on the 49ers roster Sunday, because there's a lot of rumors that they're going to trade Garoppolo during the draft, right?
Correct.
Asked if he could guarantee that Jimmy Garoppolo would be on the 49ers roster Sunday, Kyle Shanahan replied, I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday.
Good point.
Gary Lezak.
That's impending doom.
Gary Lezak disagrees. He says 100%
right.
Chance.
No. That's heavy. Now, you're talking about
that's true.
I like that go-to. It's true. Yes.
It's true.
It's true.
But he was just asking about Garoppolo being traded. Well, I don't feel like he needed to. Hey, look, I don't even know if anyone's going to be alive Sunday.
He's
on here.
He's not even right.
Kyle Shanahan.
Maybe he might not be. He's stepping in the middle of the street and a bus runs you over.
You know. That just seems to take away a little bit of the excitement from the NFL draft for me, thinking about, you know.
Not mentioned to make you value it even more, because who knows how many you're going to be around for, you know? So there you go.
It's a good way to sidestep
it. And then he went on to say, I will guarantee that he'll overthrow a receiver in the fourth quarter.
No, he did overthrow a receiver in the fourth quarter. Not he will, he did.
I don't think he said that, though. I think you're making
that up. Oh, he didn't. I just, I'm sorry.
I guarantee that he didn't beat the Chiefs.
Let's get things. We want the facts here. Get things straight.
So do you guys, dated a porn star.
So you take a positive away.
Took her out to dinner?
What? No,
took
porn.
Her. Oh, sorry.
You take away a positive from Kyle Shanahan there.
Yeah.
Because you're saying that makes you value the draft when Kyle Shanahan says, hey, look, you might not be alive Sunday.
Value every minute, you know.
All we're guaranteed is right now.
And by
right.
What a way to deflect the question about whether or not you're going to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Hey, is Garoppolo going to be? And then let's talk about death.
Let's talk about the fragility of life.
I'm just asking about trading a quarterback.
Life is short, man.
Kyle?
It's too short.
None of us get to choose.
Perspective, Kyle. I appreciate it.
You know, last week.
Yeah. It's a quick check.
Kyle quit the band. Yeah, but now we're back together again. La, da, 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 da.
You know, the 49ers did play some Tenacious D back in the day.
That's good. That's a good playoff, what I said.
Thank you very much.
That deserves it.
Absolutely.
The Royals are in first place. They're 14-7.
Something else.
Brad Keller did what he had to do. He made me nervous in the first couple of innings, but he got through six innings and only gave up two runs. What did you see from Brad Keller?
He battled, man. He made pitches when he had to late in the game. I wasn't able to see the first inning, unfortunately, or the first couple. But
that's what made me nervous, so you're good.
He, you know what? His stuff's fine. I was worried that his stuff wasn't going to be there. And he looks like he's really close, but just not commanding quite exactly where he wants to throw. Ball's still moving all over the place, which is a good thing. I think he's really close. And, you know, he's got two wins. He had a couple bad outings. We understand that, but he's close. I was encouraged to see it in person because I hadn't, well, not in person, but on television, just to see what his stuff was doing. It looks like he just flies open a little bit, trying to keep everything locked in on home plate. Maybe just feeling too good, man. He was still last night was a couple 96s and 97s. Maybe when he's a little bit tired, he's a little bit better because then that maybe he's got a little bit better command. He's not overthrowing. So, but kept us in the game.
And to me, and it really got even more exciting, and I was in the seventh and eighth inning. I thought they were going to give up the lead. So the seventh inning,
lead off triple.
Barlow walks the first two guys and think, oh, geez, this, you know, okay, minimize the damage.
Right.
Minimize the damage. Strikes out the next three guys swinging. Yep. So that's a hell of a bounce
back.
Nasty
breaking balls.
Right.
Nasty breaking balls. And then lead off triple.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, at the very least, okay, they're going to score this run. But again, minimize it. Don't let him have a big inning. But Holland fought through that.
I will say this, and I'm rooting for that kid, Akil Baddoo, just because I kind of read his story.
Yeah.
And got him from the Twins and, you know, his first major league hit, his family. It, cool stuff. Anyway, and a former coach of mine at Wichita State's assistant GM for the Tigers, David Chad. So
okay.
I'm always for the Tigers unless the Royals are playing the Tigers. So, yeah, but Holland, man, battle back, do what he does, and got out of the inning. It's not every day you can strand a guy at third base, nobody out, in a game like that. I mean, the guys normally, all you got to do is hit the ball in the outfield, hit the ball. You know, obviously they got the infield pulled in and made pitches when he need to. Man, guy swinging at balls out of the zone, and then Stalmont with the opportunity to close. I know we've talked about it a few times on this show, who's going to get more save opportunities. And I was disappointed it wasn't flip-flopped because I've picked Holland. But at that time, happy to see Stalmont go out and lock it down. Just because he hasn't had that many save opportunities. That was his second for the year.
Right.
Tied for the team lead with Holland.
Yep. You know, 15-5 could be like a wild game out of the cave. Royals won 15-5. the Royals won that four-game series 15-5.
Right.
The Tigers scored five effing runs in that four-game series. And normally, if you put up 15 runs in a four-game series, maybe you split. But right. You lost that series, right? But, I mean, you sure as I can't. I would love... If anyone's gonna do it, K-Dog's gonna do it. I would love to see how many times a team in Major League history has swept a four game series scoring 15 runs
I'm
or
sure
fewer.
Somebody has that statistic somewhere.
Jake has it in his back pocket. But I mean, that's amazing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
15-5 was the composite score of the four games.
Yeah, because usually any of those games. Well, it's just like the one Rays game for us a week before, where everything just kind of blew up and we gave up 14 runs in that game. You know, where everybody has a bad day and nobody can seem to get anybody out. And we didn't have one of those at all this entire series. Statistically, we've got the best record in the major leagues right now. Dodgers lost last night to the Reds, so we're at 667.
Let's call it right now. Stop the fight. So I want to go back to something you said about Keller, though, because it's a fascinating, for somebody that's never pitched at any kind of high level, it's a fascinating conversation. And I've heard people say it about guys before. You said maybe he's feeling too good, and maybe he would be better if he was a little tired, because then he'd have better command. And I've heard guys also say sometimes a guy has a better sink on his ball if he throws a sinker, if his arm's not quite as rested.
I will say that from a relief pitcher standpoint, I was never a starter, so the routine that you go through in between starts to determine where you need to be on that starting day with bullpens in between, and everything that you do. I know for me, if I would sit a couple days and hadn't pitched, and then I'd throw an inning, say one inning that game, and then I would come back and pitch the next day, that second day I was my best because I was just a little bit tired. Maybe that day after having 2 days rest, I was a little bit amped up, and maybe I had a little bit more velocity. Maybe I was 93 or something, but I seemed to be flat with my sinker. But after an inning and then the next day, maybe a little bit tired, not overthrowing, ball's just got a little bit better movement, maybe the same velocity, but you're not putting more effort into it. I would assume that that could kind of be a similar thing for the starter. I mean, I guess tired maybe isn't the word, because you're not tired, but sometimes when you're throwing, and I say this when I'm teaching too, is I don't want a guy to throw with 100% at 100% efficiency, yes, but effort every single pitch. Man, I want you to be 95% so you're nice and relaxed and the ball's doing what it needs to be doing. When your arm feels really good, you have a tendency to overthrow a little bit because your arm feels really good. And when it just maybe just feels average, you go out there and you pitch. Your velocity's just as good, but your stuff's doing it. You have better command of everything. It's a hard thing to explain if you've never pitched.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's why I asked the question, because it's fascinating to me.
A way to have an analogy for another sport or whatever, but it seems like that you're just more... You're more relaxed, and you're not tensing up, and you're not overdoing it.
So this is a probably really stupid question, but
I'll let you know.
Why not just throw easier?
Tell him.
You know what I mean? If you're pressed, why not just take a little bit? Seems like it'd be easier if you're just like, just go 80% instead of 100%, and then it'd be fine.
Because your arm always feels a little bit different every single day. I mean, okay. We always want to work easier, but it doesn't work that way. It's not that easy to do that. Just throw easier. I guess you would throw less hard, I guess. You know?
Like George Brett always talked about how sometimes you got to try easier. But it's hard to do that in baseball because you're playing against major leaguers, and maybe you think, well, you know what, I got 96, I might as well use it.
Well, there's that fine line between 95% and 100%,
yeah.
You know, in anything, where 95% you feel a little bit relaxed, and 100% you feel like you're tensing up and you're doing a little bit too much.
Yeah.
So that's that. You know, that tipping point in there that everybody's got to find that spot. And I think, especially opening day, I think he was way overpumped, way overamped, and was throwing harder than we've ever seen him throw before and can't command anything. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday was encouraging signs. Yeah, he just had given up more hits than you used to Keller giving up hits. You know, that's the thing with, and I've read a couple articles about him based on the metrics of his pitches, his stuff moves different. On the y-axis and x-axis, different than some other pitchers, sinkers and stuff has. So with all the different data that we have today, Keller's kind of a unicorn with some of his pitches. I read an article about that on The Athletic a few weeks ago about somebody really dove deep in the, you know, why is Keller with, you know, supposedly somewhat average stuff compared to some other doing what he's doing, and a lot of it was because you know, the movement on his pitches and his y-axis and x stuff that's way smarter than me. But interesting when you can dive deep into the metrics of it and see maybe he's getting back to where, you know what, he's a little bit more comfortable. But 2-2, good job. Even with him not pitching well, we're still 14-7.
14-7, and just saw this tweet from Elias Sports. The Royals enter today with the best record in the majors, at least 20 games into the season for the first time since May 24th, 2015.
What happened that year?
Good stuff. Well, I remember most of it, so.
Yeah, last.
Jake, what happened that year? Tell us.
The last third was a blur.
Nothing.
I don't know.
We have Jamie Bloom in studio. We'll be right back after this with more on WHB. Welcome back to the show. Between now and 10 o'clock, we'll take care of this request. Seth knows that the show loves Tenacious D, and I've seen Tenacious D in concert 3 times, including one of the few times I was able to sit front row for a concert, which was fantastic because Jack Black sang to Susan, which was awesome because she loves Jack Black.
Did he sing
Black herself? We had a family outing.
What's that?
We had a family outing.
Which was that at?
Tenacious D at Uptown.
Yeah. Ooh, oh, that was good.
I would love to see
that.
That
was good.
I never
this week came out the big
Uptown
outfit.
Theater.
It was like a kind of gore-ish.
Like war?
Guar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome.
You remember that?
It was Richie.
Came out in some big, big costume.
We saw him open up for Kid Rock one time at Municipal. You know, we saw Kid Rock together one time or not.
Maybe lived through it somehow.
Somehow wore each other's leather jackets home, you know?
Which I still
wait. Where's
still
my leather jacket? Bluma's got it. Where? Yeah. Whose jacket is this? It's Bluma's.
I don't. Oh, I was going to say the second time Susan swung by to get you. Like,
yeah.
Well, I hope she's looking at you and not at me.
I was in big, big trouble.
Speaking of group outings,
like, get in this car right now, guys. Got to go.
Okay. Are you going to give me crap about the baseball game already?
No, but I was going to tell you, Seth wants to hear Wonder Boy. Okay. Which I love it very much because it reminds me of the boys.
How about the power of flight?
We play it all the time.
We can get that in the next
thank
one.
Thank you.
Is that
now, what were you
going
to say to Jake?
He just wants an update status.
Yeah,
update.
Not getting on anyone.
No. Nope.
Weather's starting
get
to it. Get better. No. It's fine. Man, we're working our way into it. It's almost May.
You bringing it up is getting on him, by the way.
Anybody bringing it up is getting on me.
He's, or me okay. offering to help.
Okay, do you see what they
I don't need your help.
Do you see?
So I didn't mean to create this.
That's all right.
This is going to sound weird. Look at his mouth. You see his mouth?
I can't see his mouth.
That's the mouth that has bit off more than it could chew.
Oh, my ass.
I don't believe that.
My ass. You know what?
Your ass is more than you could chew?
No.
I don't believe that.
Thank
I'm on
you.
Your side,
thank
dude.
Thank you. Thank
Why?
You.
Why not?
What is he?
Somebody
what?
Needs
He's
to be.
He's not taking a step. In the right direction.
You know what? I think that he has. I think that he has. I think that he has.
What have we done?
Unbeknownst to us.
What have I not done? Look at me.
Anything.
Look at me.
Like, what have we,
we're talking about a man who reversed type 2 diabetes.
Right.
A sober alcoholic.
I'm talking about this event, though.
Who's lost 180
right.
pounds.
Yeah. How many Zooms have you put together for us during this thing?
Oh, screw you, pal.
There you go. See, like, the things that are relevant to what we're talking about.
All that stuff is great, Jake. It's
I can
all
accomplish
fine.
Anything
but what
I put
about
my
the zooms?
At least we did one. One's more
like
than
if,
none.
Like if you don't play the right promo and Chad comes in here, hey, why didn't you play a promo? Hey, Chad, I've lost 180 pounds. I reversed.
Look at me.
You know.
You should just be glad I'm sitting in this chair right now.
Right.
Gone.
Jake, did you book that guest? I lived on a mountain for a month. I didn't watch the Super Bowl. We get it.
What guest
but have you
book?
Put
I
together this
want.
Damn Border Patrol Listener Appreciation
it's
Night?
In the works.
Good.
Have faith.
What does that mean? Give me a little bit more definition of what in the works means.
I can't.
It will maybe
I
occur.
Let you in the, I can't let you in the inner working.
Can't.
I
like
no,
it.
There's no inner. Because there's no work.
There's no inner and there's no working. All right?
Maybe I'll just not do it.
How about some
alcohol? Well, yeah, no, you've already done that.
Maybe you won't.
Well, put your foot down.
What are you doing?
Maybe I'll show you guys.
That's like God coming down and threatening me. Maybe I'm going to make you fat. I already am. What else do you have?
I'm going to make you short.
What else you want? Yeah, right. Exactly. And short. Yeah. It's stupid. And right now Susan's listening to the show. Yeah. Yeah. Tell them. Yeah.
God did it all to you.
That's Royals.
Just like your dad saying, I'll give you something to cry about.
You can't go for that. Royals.
Right.
South
versus
East
the
Coast.
Pirates.
Okay. So the only bad thing that out of this deal, and hopefully it's nothing.
The thumb.
But I don't like. It's not Mike Matheny's fault. But it's the Chiefs' fault. Going back to Eric Berry, day to day.
Oh, boy.
When I was told Eric Berry's day to day, every day, day to day, every day, day to day, every day, every day, every day, and I don't like day to day no more. Day to day used to be good. Day to day, when I hear someone say, okay, well, it's all right. All now when I hear day to day, I'm like, what's this going to be?
Yeah, but I think that Andy Reid says day by day. That's different than Mike Matheny's day to day.
Eric Berry was day to day.
Day to day.
Was it?
Yeah, he'd say, it's day to day.
Everyone, that was day to day, trust me, because every day we look around.
Oh, I'm aware of that.
Kyle Shanahan has told us we're all day to day.
Right.
Yeah. None of us, you know.
Kyle Shanahan's threatening to end the world if someone asks about Jimmy Garoppolo being traded.
If you asked him, like, hey, Salvi going to be back this weekend? Yeah. I don't even know if he's going to be alive this weekend.
I don't know if I'm going to be back this weekend. You asking about Salvi?
I've been scouring the internet for that sound. I want that audio.
So here's Mike Matheny, because Salvi left after hurting his thumb. Here's what Mike Matheny had to say.
Was it the play at the plate where Salvi saw that jab the thumb there? Is that what happened? And then was he just feeling it again on swings? Or what prompted you guys to take him out?
Yeah, you had it right there. First of all, that was a really good play. Nicky didn't give him a good throw, but it was the exact right play to make. He was trying to cut him down at home. Might have had a little bit more time than what he thought. A really nice pick by Salvi on the back end. And unfortunately, as he applied the tag, it just pushed his thumb back a little bit. He feels we've got everything looked at. They believe this is it's going to be a day-to-day thing that he should be fine with, but just needed to get him out so we could get him a better look.
So is it Nicky Lopez's fault that this thumb injury happened? Is that what we're hearing there?
I guess you're wondering.
Nicky's fault? Oh, man. You don't want that on your conscience.
But that's... I just said earlier, that just scares you when you hear about thumb with Salvi. It can affect the swing. I mean, everything. You don't want this. You don't want that. Salvi can't get hurt. And
he'll be fine. He's tough, man. And he's gotten beat up back there. Both those guys, Gallagher last night, too. Did I hear that right during the broadcast that he blocked every ball last year? Did you hear him say that?
No.
Yeah. I think that was...
Well, you know what? It's funny that you say that because one of the things that Greg Holland has always said that made him such a great closer was that he knows he can bounce that breaking ball in front of Salvi, even if there's a guy on third base, which is what he had to do yesterday.
Well, and look at all the guys with breaking balls that we have in our pen with him, with Stalmont, with all of our guys have nasty breaking balls. And Stalmont couldn't even get a breaking ball close yesterday and ended up being all fastballs, which isn't the best thing, but he was able to overpower guys with that. But that's 100% true, is having faith in a guy back there that's just going to keep the ball in front of you, especially with two strikes. My goodness.
And that's big that Gallagher's like that when you lose Salvi.
And I heard that on the broadcast, and I was like, what did they just say? That he blocked every single ball that was blockable?
That's incredible.
Somebody I know is sitting in their basement charting that because... Well, last week after
mom's basement.
Well, somebody. I was complaining last week about the umpire last Monday night.
Yeah.
And it showed up on my Twitter feed about an umpire grade site that somebody was... did you see that?
There's a Twitter account that grades umpires performances night of.
Correct.
That's a good follow.
Yeah. And that somebody was like, hey, Bundy Jr. 19 was spot on. I didn't even know that existed, that somebody was actually charting how the umpires do every single night.
Hold them accountable.
It was good. I didn't really... he was bad.
Did you see Buster Olney's rant about the umps?
I did not.
So there was another awful call backed up by a refusal to overturn the awful call by replay last night. And if you want to check it out, I retweeted Buster. It was the A's game, A's in Tampa, where Elvis Andrus was clearly safe. Was that from the... Roberto Ortiz. But Elvis Andrus clearly safe. He was called out on the field and after the review, and Buster retweeted, "It's incomprehensible that this keeps happening. Again, there needs to be a statement of accountability from MLB, this was last night, tomorrow, acknowledging the mistake, or else it just looks like nobody really cares about getting it right." And that's the truth. It looks like nobody cares because you see the play, and we have all this technology, and it shows, okay, that was a bad call. Have you seen this? And so this was called Safe Live, which, fine, they're human, they make mistakes, so you have replay, and then you have replay, so then fix it. But then, if you have replay that refuses to overturn the bad call, then what the hell is the point?
He does look safe to me. Am I wrong there? Are they saying he's out?
Yeah, he was called out.
Oh, they called him out.
Yeah, they called him out.
Oh
yeah.
You said he called him safe originally.
Yeah.
Well, he
okay. And they didn't overturn it. They kept,
right.
They,
he was called out on the field and after review. But he was safe, is my point.
Yeah, he's safe. Okay, yes, yes, he's clearly safe.
He was called out on the field. So sorry if I misspoke. He was called out on the field, and then they went to replay, and they kept it. He was called out on the field.
Just do away with replay.
But see,
just do away with
this
replay.
Is what pisses me off, though. Anyone can miss a call. Great. He missed it. Bang, bang, play. We have the ability to watch this in super slow-mo. But guess what? So does the replay official. So does the replay.
Right.
And so if something this obvious, if you're just going to refuse to overturn it, then what are we doing?
Yeah, why do we have it?
Then you just waste time. Then just go back to guys making bad calls.
That's as
it.
Bad if, I mean, I don't know if it's worse than the Alex Bohm Phillies one at home plate.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure
that one
it is.
Was unbelievable. So this one is at ump scorecards.
Yep.
Is what this is. So this little chart that I did not know existed.
Now go back and see all the tweets and people that are watching that game and their response and everything. And look, okay, so then the Royals are in the thick of this and we're all fired up watching the Royals and we're just, that's too bad for the A's. Wait till that happens to the Royals. Wait till that happens to the Royals against the White Sox and it's a 2-1 game and the tying run looks like scores, but they call him out. And he's clearly safe, and then replay. Yeah. Oh, well, I don't see nothing either.
Yeah. That's two problem. One, that's just like I said last week, there's no accountability whatsoever. I mean, you don't get to talk to anybody after the game about them jacking up a call, or managers and players all have to be accountable and answer questions about everything, and umpires just go away.
Well, and the other BS. Thing, as I've said about it, I don't like the replay system in Major League Baseball because it's some faceless people in, New York
right.
that are watching this. And so we don't even really know who ended up making the call. You know, the umpires should have to walk over to the monitor, watch the call himself, and either confirm his own ruling or overturn himself.
Right.
Because then he's got to take accountability. This is my call, you know, and I've got to wear whether I got it right or wrong. You know, and instead of when
the
you,
guy in New York covering that
yeah,
guy's ass.
Yeah. Because right. okay, some faceless person in New York. We don't even know. Takes it out of the umpire's responsibility. Well, it wasn't me. It was back in New York. They told me.
Well, I want to. They're going to tell you who the first base, third base, all four umpires are on the field. I want them to post who is the replay official in New York as well. Okay, if you're going to let people know
that's
who's
still
the guy
not
on
enough.
The
they should be on camera then.
Sure.
Let's see this guy's face. I mean, and that's just because when you have to take personal accountability for anything in life.
Any accountability. At least you know who the guy is jacking up the call in New York, too.
Yeah.
Instead of having the guy on the field here wear it.
Yeah.
Or not wear it.
But I just think, I really firmly believe it should be the person who made the original call. It's your call. You own it. You own the call, right or wrong, because that's the way it is for the pitcher, right?
Right.
The pitcher throws a pitch, and he has to own that pitch. You know, he doesn't get to say, well, some nameless people out in New York threw that pitch. It wasn't my fault.
No, the catcher called for that. I didn't want to throw it.
Right.
Catcher's
fault. I still blame Sweeney for that man, Hudler, so that's fine.
That's true.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He put the wrong finger down.
Come on, dude. Put slider down, jerk.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Your head didn't shake the right way that day.
I will tell you this, man. Big league umpires are good as much as
they are.
We want to be pissed at the system.
Well, that's
fine. Umpires are really good.
And they miss calls, and guess what?
Right.
Then if you miss an obvious call, then you go to replay, overturn the damn call. Correct the call. That's what the point is. That's all. Back after this on WHB. There you go, Jake. This is on the walk playlist, the walk Spotify list, when I go for my long walks, when I need to get away from everything, including myself. And I offer myself up to the music and to sweet Mother Nature.
How about the power to move you? By the way, I got confirmation from Dave Holtzman, Holtzy as they call him. You were right. You heard it right, Jamie Bluma. Cam Gallagher did not let a pitch in the dirt get past him all of last
year.
That
is awesome.
He didn't have enough blocks to qualify as a regular, but still amazing.
Hey, go out there and do your job.
Yeah, man.
Good job, Cam Gallagher.
I mean, you don't expect him to go in and hit like Salvi, but if he can protect the pitchers like that.
Well, he goes through his stretches. I remember even in spring training this year, he's swinging the bat pretty good. Obviously, spring training doesn't matter, but go out there and hit 250.
I take that.
Sting one every once in a while.
Just hold the fort down until Salvi comes back.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't have to play too much, and Salvi's okay with the thumb.
You know what? Maybe he's better when he gets a little bit more comfortable with the dish if he gets a few more at-bats, you know?
Sure.
Why wouldn't he be?
What about later on tonight? We have a 5:30 first pitch as the Royals start their quick two-game series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. 5:35 Central at PNC Park. Jacob Junis on the mound. And look, Junis was terrific his first couple of starts. His last start, he got into trouble early, but he, and that could have got ugly, like when a Keller starts that we've seen where things got away from him early. But, I mean, four runs in the first inning.
Right.
But he got through it and ended up pitching five innings and only giving up five runs after that kind of start. I like to see that from a guy that maybe doesn't have his best stuff on a night that he's off. He just didn't get totally bombed out of the game. And remember, that was a game that the Royals came back to win 98, so he kept him in the game so they could make that comeback.
Well, I mean, just to see him continue to take an opportunity that he's been given, because I think everybody thought he was going to be in the bullpen to start the year. So he's like, you know, he probably didn't want to be in the bullpen. Hey, I've been a starter most of my career. Now he wants to get out there and keep pitching well to keep himself in that rotation, which there's no reason he shouldn't be. So,
when you lose your feel for a pitch, because you've heard that, but you mentioned losing his feel for the cutter and talked about in the past losing his feel for a slider. What's that like as a pitcher when you hear that and someone that doesn't pitch doesn't quite understand you're losing your feel for a pitch, you're losing your command? How frustrating can that be, and how do you get it back?
It's terrifying, especially if it continues for a couple outings, you know, whether it be a reliever or whatever, because you try everything to get it back. And maybe it's just, maybe that day it's the humidity and maybe you don't have the right, you know, just seams on the ball, you don't, and then you find it again. So it can be a terrifying process. But he's got good enough slider, I think he can go to, that he's got good enough stuff. And I liked when he was a sinker ball guy when he first came up. You know, that was what he first did, and his command was really good. That was more of what he was than a, you know, a cutter slider guy. He had a pretty decent little sinker to keep guys honest. So, you know, just resort back to pitch a little bit. He's been around a little bit now. He's more of a veteran. Changing speeds, he can do that when you lose a feel for something. I know that cutter's helped him out so far. And I watched his last outing. It's not like he throws it every single pitch. It's not like a Mariano Rivera type thing where he's throwing a cutter every single time, or a Canley Jansen or something like that. He's still got to have a full repertoire of pitches to be a starting pitcher. You can't just go cutter, 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 cutter every single time. Guys will get used to that and make adjustments. So he's got enough other tools in his arsenal that he should be able to keep him in the game.
So if you could look up that quote you referenced a couple times yesterday from A.J. Hinch about Brady Singer, this made me think of that when you were talking about Mariano Rivera and the cutter. Please, Stephen, I'm asking there. You. I'm begging you.
That's I was just looking for please. That's all I was at there. Then you said please. That's it. You're supposed to be Mr. Manners
right,
on this
right,
show.
That's right. That's right.
Can you just do this?
Please.
Yeah.
Please. Okay. I'm begging you.
That's all just please. Magic
so,
word.
A.J. Hinch was talking about the outing that Singer had and talking about maybe the simplicity of his approach, but that his stuff wasn't simple. And I was thinking to myself, we were trying to decide, like, what exactly did A.J. mean by it? And I think what he meant is that Singer is a two-pitch pitcher, really.
Yep.
I mean, he throws a changeup like 4% of the time. And the rest of it, it's fastball slider. And usually you hear about starting pitchers, oh, you got to have a third pitch because you got to be able to have something else to keep him off balance and change the look, right? And his point, I think, because he said his stuff isn't simple, is maybe if you have a pitch that moves enough or a couple pitches that move enough, then that makes it, you know, that keeps you off balance right there. You don't necessarily have to have three pitches.
That tells you how good some of those pitches are, Rivera, right. Rivera being one of them. Right. Everybody in the world for 20 years knew he is going to throw you a cutter. And that's how good this cutter is he's going to throw it every single time for 20 straight years, and end up in the Hall of Fame with the lowest ERA in postseason history.
A.J. Hinch said, his usage is simple, but that doesn't mean that doesn't make his stuff simple. I think it's pretty electric. He's got plenty of stuff, no matter how many pitches he has, to be successful, and we saw it today.
That's it.
Is that it? I mean, it's,
yeah. I mean, when your stuff is as good as he is, he's got movement, and he's got two swing and miss pitches, but you have to decide between the two. And I've said it before, even on 4% on changeup, you throw it every once in a while. It's something that a hitter still has to account for. Mm-hmm. So it's there. You know it. You look at scouting reports, you know it. It's there, but you still have to adjust to two really good pitches that he uses most of the time. Kudos. Most guys don't have two really good pitches. They usually have one really good pitch and then have to rely on something else. So,
Blumen, how can people get a hold of you?
You can come see us out at 2115 East Kansas City Road in Olathe. Give us a call, 913-320-4404, or email at info@gohomefield.com. I also wanted to give a shout out to Emily McNeil for winning another kayak race this weekend.
Emily
setting another record, huh?
Yep,
girl?
The Mean Lamine. They set the women's tandem record at 2 hours and 16 and a half minutes.
She's the GOAT.
Yep. Kayak season has begun.
Studio audience.
And obviously, judging by the bass that I caught Sunday night, fishing season has begun.
I saw that picture you posted. That was a big bass.
Where at?
Not at liberty to answer that.
You're out there kicking bass and taking names.
Secret fishing. Oh, no. It was maybe 2.5 pounds at max. But okay. It's cold. You know, water's cold still, so they're starting to stir up a little bit. I'm excited.
But Jay got in a lot of trouble a few years ago inviting people to a secret fishing hole, so that's, you know.
He was noodling.
Right.
Also fun. Once.
With Jake?
Seems dangerous.
Till a snapping turtle bites your arm.
Yeah. Wait a minute. That wasn't a turtle.
That wasn't an arm.
And back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.